Good morning. Good morning, listening audience. I'm sitting here bobbing my head. Joe is in the other room working the controls. He will be who you'll call into. And that's the first voice you're going to hear when you call into the J-Rice Show. Joe, so be nice to him. He might be nice to you. So thank you. Good morning, listeners. We're here. We're live in studio on WJNI 106.3. That Kurt Frank, that little fella, got me bopping my head here in the studios, prepping me for the show. Good morning again, listeners locally and those listening around the world. We know you know the platform. It's 9 a.m. It's the J. Rice Show. Information is key. Dialogue. This is a call-in platform. 843-308-9564. Load up them lines right now. We can have conversations about anything you desire. But as always, I'm going to always put out, you know, a few topics that you can think about. I want to immediately start by, and of course, I got a guest that's going to be on me this morning about 9:15. Good friend. I just love her to death because she can cook real well, but a lot of other reasons. Nonetheless, she'll be on 9:15. Get ready for her. Charlotte Jenkins, former owner of Gullah Cuisine Restaurant. Happy Valentine's Day. Let me put that out there. Do you celebrate it? Do you not celebrate it? Do you have an opinion about it? I have to say, because it is Valentine's Day. But as Jay Wright does, and when it comes to creating this dinner table discussion and conversation, and I want to hear from you. I want your thoughts on this. I want to create this dinner table discussion. Happy Valentine's Day, again. But for the purpose of economics, I want your opinion. What if we celebrated Valentine's Day on the 15th or the 16th? Just think about that. Economically, do you realize how smart that would be? Everything is 50% off. And do you know what $20 can buy at that point? Just think, if you can influence your significant other, whoever you might be, you know, spending money on for Valentine's Day today, because a lot of people are going to spend a lot of money today. Economically, let's just see if you can get them to wait until the 15th or the 16th when things are 50% off and 75% off. We can change Valentine's as we know it. Just table discussion, dinner table discussion from the J. Wright Show. We're acknowledging Black History Month as we always do. You know, I'm always, and let me be clear, I'm always lobbying for something, and today, and I'll always lobby every day for Black History 365, BH365. And I'm not asking that we cancel Carter G. Woodson's work, you know, or Ronald Reagan's approval of the month. I'm not asking we cancel that. I'm just asking, you know, I'm my passion about Black History 365, you know, so that we can learn more about and support our local iconic businesses and contributors in our lifetime. You know, my sponsors, Askew Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Jairus Place, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, VIP Bistro, my sponsors and guests are those that may not be discussed or acknowledged during this month nationally. So BH365 allows me, Jay Wright, to come in, create, along with, and with support of those sponsors, to create a show and have a listening audience that we can add to what we're already doing, you know, and continue to operate and maneuver in this global economy and society. But more importantly, I think I just don't believe that I want to take anything away. I think I want to add to, because again, they are those folks here locally that you and I both know that has done some amazing things, but they don't always get, you know, that national recognition around Black History Month. So BH365. That's just my thought. And you can chime in. You got every right to chime in because that's what this platform is about. Saturdays at 1 p.m., the D-Max Show plus his sons. Them guys are always on point. David is always putting out valuable information. He put out some information yesterday about the new PPE loan. And one day, David, I know you and I both agree that one day on WJNI's website somewhere in the future, there'll be those numbers are the audience can listen into the show from previous week before. So that valuable information that that you and I are attempting to put out can be shared and folks will have contact information. And so that's just where I know you both agree. I know you agree with me. And I know my sponsors would love to hear that as well. So moving right along. You know, I'm tired of, and I've said this in my return home, I'm tired of the study. I understand, you know, the world, and it's, you know, it's intrigue with the Lowcountry region. I understand it's intrigue with us, with the Lowcountry, but I'm tired of studies. The attempt to study since 1619, you've got to know everything you need to know. We've got to know all history that brought us to where we are today. And just kind of kill some of this study and go into direct action. Direct action through CRAs, Community Reinvestment Acts, through CBAs, community benefit agreements, to retain our rich historical communities. Those are our tools. So let's stop asking for studies and let's start asking for direct action immediately. And again, because it's a platform for you to call and engage, I know you know, I give you that liberty to talk about anything that I may not discuss. And, you know, if you want, you can call up and you can talk about the second impeachment, the verdict, Nikki Haley's comment. I'll entertain and I'll discuss both of them. I mean, if you so desire. I just think at this point it's not really worth mentioning. It's clear, and I think I'm conscious enough to be able to say this. It's clear to the world that enforcement is selective. And just for the purpose of that term, let me use this analogy. And it's, you know, it's real, and I like the real dialogue. So it's real that, do you remember when black police officers were not allowed to arrest our white brothers and sisters? Do you remember that? So I believe, Jay Wright, I believe those officers were not able to fully carry out their duties on that January 6th day for no other reason than what the people looked like. If those folks were a minority, different outcome. That's just my belief. But you got a right to call up and give me your opinion because, you know, I'm just putting it out there. Call up. I want to hear what you think about that. You know, we know that the second impeachment was around the incitement of the riot of January 6th. But let's see how many of you recalled the impeachment of President Bill Clinton over sexual allegations in the White House while still in office. A lot of those guys were around then, and they led impeachment charges against him in regards to a sexual allegation, which was obviously consensual. You know, how does that line up? You know, I mean, we know that impeachments are along party lines and they're able to do that. How does that line up? How does that, was so much said and about that versus what happened just recently? Your voice matters. So 843-308-9564. you have a chance to call up and talk about it. You know, so you know me, I don't do party either way. I just like to have discussions. And discussions and real hard conversations and dialogue is how we get and to substance. Because I think for too long, we've played softball with issues. We got to now stop playing hardball. I played fastball. So we got to start throwing that ball 100 miles an hour and pray you can hit it. But at least, you know, you'll see it coming down. So we got to play hardball. So party all aside, it's just the issues. So I give it to you. You get a chance to talk about it and discuss it. I want to give a huge thank you to ETV and the 4 Mile community. Carla Gregg is president of that 4 Mile Community Association. We did a fun throwback drive-in on Friday. Very, very successful. ETV, that staff, Leah, Betsy, Xavier, and also Michael Allen. I want to thank Michael Allen for sure, because he directed them to work with the African-American Historic Settlement Community Commission and for that Black History Month collaboration that we eventually put together with working with those two resources, ETV and the 4 Mile Community Association, for using their multi-purpose complex and sites at 1800 Labor Camp Road. It was a lot of fun, very safe. You pulled up in your car, big, huge movie screen, watched a movie from your car, listened from your radio. It was a lot of fun. Pearl Askew told me that she's looking forward to the next one, and she said the next drive-in, she was going to wear her pajamas because you didn't have to interact with nobody. So you can't do that. And it was a lot of fun. I want to thank them. That was a Black History Month event, collaboration between African American Historic Settlement Commission, 4 Mile Community Association, but ETV, excellent job. Thank you. We're looking forward to you guys doing other work in our communities, east of the Cooper. And so let's plan it. I know you're listening. We want to make sure also we talk about how we move forward and what is key. And how should we be navigating how we move forward? We've seen enough. We've witnessed enough. Some cases, we've been told to that we don't even see what we actually see. Do we galvanize and get out and vote and elect folks that that maybe we can have a chance to have a conversation with? You know, I can't help but say, I like to have conversations about issues that I see that are wrongdoings. Can you imagine, and I'd like for your comment and your opinion on this, can you imagine that if you were a juror in this last impeachment and you had a conversation with the defense attorney, if you're a juror, as all of those elected officials were, having a conversation with the defense attorney, that would be, you'd be charged. You'd be charged if you did that. So that selective standards, you got to squash it. And it's existed. We know it exists. So we just got to find our way. You know, to find what's best for all mankind. And I know that's going to be a struggle and a challenge because we've been trying to do it for a very long time. But I think Xavier on Friday with ETV made a very excellent comment to me. And his comment was that, you know, we have to educate our way out of some situations. And I think that was an excellent comment, education and direct action. We got to look for something that we can do that's going to be good for the next generation, because we ultimately know that everything we do now, the next generation will inherit. So load those lines up, 843-308-9564. I want to hear your comments about anything I've discussed already. I want to hear your comments about things that I may not have discussed that you deem important. You know, there was a conversation, and I don't know if either you saw, but that was being had between the chief of police in North Charleston and Chief Burgess and Chief Reynolds in the city of Charleston. And it was, you know, broadcast over a news outlet. I'm not sure if it was a program, but nonetheless, there was a conversation about law enforcement. And they both show their passion about law enforcement. And, you know, a lot of my friends are police officers. You know, they don't have me over for dinner. I don't have them over for dinner, but they're still my friends. And I think that kind of ties right into that selective enforcement issue and how, you know, you can kind of hear it in both of their voices. But I think, again, those conversations, those dialogues are important. So we'll never say that conversation was not one that should not be had, but I think it is should be had. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning, John Wright. How are you this morning?
I am well. How are you this morning?
I am doing pretty good. Thank you.
Good.
I have, I guess, a comment to make about yesterday's acquittal of the impeachment, the second one. These folks, they do not believe in democracy. And I think what happened on the 6th of January was tragic. To see them storm the Capitol building like that and, you know, not be, you know, held accountable for it. It's sad.
Okay. Hey, caller, can you cut your radio down behind you? It's kind of interfering with your conversation. But you're right. It is sad. I'm sure it's something that we never envisioned. I never even think would ever happen. You know, so what do we do now? You know, I mean, what do we do?
Well, for one thing, the people that voted to acquit him, they need to be thrown out of office, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
They do not need to be there because they don't believe in democracy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they can go to a communist country,
right,
if they'd like to.
Well, let me ask you a quick question before I get to my guests. I got my guests on the line. I'm going to go to them in just a second. Are you proud of America? Are you proud to be an American?
I am, but yesterday it just showed like it's so divided.
Okay.
Had this have been non-white people that stormed the Capitol building, you'd have been stepping over dead bodies.
Okay, well, listen, I appreciate your comment. I think that's, you know, an observation because we all have them and we, you know, I do. But again, I think what's most important about what you said is that you do love America. So that I think is kind of sends a trend that, you know, despite what you saw, what you may have witnessed, your love and passion, your love for America is still there. And I think that's something that we all have to agree to, you know. We have to love even despite what we might see and work for better solutions. Thank you so much, ma'am, for your call.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great day.
You do the same.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right. You heard the caller. She has an opinion. We all have an opinion about what we saw. And that is that First Amendment right that those attorneys went on and on about. Okay, so we're going to jump right on into the guest. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charlotte Jenkins. It is a pleasure, indeed a pleasure, to have you on my show this morning. You are a living legend to me. You're one of those iconic businesses and individuals and contributor that the national stage don't get a chance to talk about or even know what some of the great work you did, the value you had to a community along the Gullah Geechee Corridor. Thank you, ma'am, for everything you've done. It is my pleasure to be on with you this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Thank you so much. Now, we know how famous the Gala Cuisine restaurant was. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. And then let me tell you how many people that since I posted on my Facebook page have told me, wow, you're making me hungry just by posting the Gala Cuisine. You know, it is like, I'm getting hungry right now, and oh, we missed that. So let's talk about the book and what inspired you to write the book?
Well, running the restaurant, and, you know, I had so many people who enjoy the food. They said, I'd like to cook this when I go home. So I've been writing a little, you know, recipe on paper, and I got tired of that. I said, you know what? I need to do a book. This way, you know, they will have all the recipes, actually most of the recipe that is served in the restaurant. So that's how the book got started. And then it was published in 2010, and it sold out. And this is now the third publication of the book because of the demand.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the national, the world will know about the Gala Cuisine and its cookbook. Considering that's huge. If it's in your third publication now, and Miss Michelle Jenkins, you know, I know you personally, and I can't help but say, you know, how honorable of you to share your recipes that you're cooking in the restaurant and to make money with the world. That's huge.
Yeah, I think it's a southern thing, you know. You share.
Right. That's a good southern value and a good trait to have. And, you know, I think the world can use some of the soul food seasoning down here in the south, in particular when it comes to that. Now, tell me, are you still doing book signings? And and what are you doing in this retirement that you're calling retirement?
Yes, well, you know, I was doing book signing and until COVID came in, and then that stopped that. But I'm, you know, still selling the books online. My daughter and I, we are selling the Gala seasoning. It's called Gala Tings, and so been working with that. And I do a little special catering every now and then, and I'm raising some chicken because I always thought that once I retire I would live off the fat of the land.
Wow.
And which means I grow my own food, mm-hmm. raise my chicken, and that's what I'm doing, and I'm having a great time with it, collecting the eggs. Give me great joy collecting eggs.
Wow, so you're going back in time then. You're literally retired and you're raising chickens and you're living off the land, or, you know, I know you got a lot of land over there. And so that's intriguing to know that you're kind of going back and reinventing what was sustainability to us. And that is living off the land. That's pretty cool. How many chickens you have?
Well, I started with 20.
Wow.
I have 15. And I get from 12 to 14 eggs per day. So with that many, you know, I can't eat that. I make almond, I make anything, you know, a whole lot of stuff with eggs.
Right.
So I share it with family and friends.
Okay. Okay, good. Good, good. I'm not going to give out your number because I don't want nobody else. I want to be a little selfish here. So I'm not going to give out your number, and I'm not willing to share it. Most cases, I'm willing to share the number, so I'm just going to be a little selfish here and not share your number. But that's pretty cool. What's the name of the book?
The book is Gala Cuisine by Land and by Sea, author Charlotte Jenkins. Yeah.
And that book is, you can get that book online. Again, say that name again because, you know, my listening audience, Charlotte, I know, I believe I got millions of listeners. And they're all listening with a pen in their hand and coffee and a tea and mimosas, and they're waiting for information. And this is good information for them. So can you share that book title again, please?
Bella Cuisine by Land and by Sea, author Charlotte Jenkins, and artist Jonathan Green has about 30 of Jonathan Green's great painting in there.
Okay. Good shared effort. Now, how did the Land and Sea come along with just our low country region? Is that how that came about?
Yes. Well, you know, the book has a lot of seafood, and you know, the low country has the best seafood. And
say that again. Please say that again, please, Michelle.
The low country has the best seafood. And I grew up on that. And most of my recipe, a lot of my recipe had seafood in it. So, mm-hmm. you know, and then your fresh vegetable, the land, and the seafood.
Well, you know, that's after my long time away, that was one of the reasons why I came back home, so I can enjoy the seafood. And, you know, I want to thank you because, you know, when I first came back home, as most people may not know, that I rented a small space from you inside the Gullah Cuisine restaurant, and we had a bar, that was a bar, and I had a chance to eat that food every day. I bragged about it all the time to all my friends back in Ohio that wanted to know what I was doing, and not only that, I enjoyed the time I spent with you. I learned a lot about you, and picked up some good pointers, and you know you. You are an iconic figure here locally, and you know that's why I'm an advocate for Black History Month 365. So do you get your time. You know, you're not tossed into trying to fill that your role in a month what you did. So, you know, one day I got this vision in my head that one day I think I can see. I mean, I'm just the crystal ball is going off. Pops ask you, I know you're listening, that we're going to have a restaurant, I'm going to be behind a bar, we're going to have this moment. I just, it's like a boomerang. What's your thoughts?
Keep dreaming. And keep dreaming, set your goals up. You know, you dream and your dream will come true. I mean, it's at one point it will come true. It may not be the Askew and the Gullah lady working with you, but somebody else might come and offer you the opportunity. But I tell you, we are here. We're standing behind you. If you ever need our assistance, you know, we'll walk you through it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because, you know, in that restaurant and everything, restaurant is risky business. You mm-hmm. need... you know, capital.
Right.
And that's the key. Mm-hmm. If someone has, you know, financing, then, you know, you won't have a problem.
Right. You know, that's a critical element to what you're saying. And we're fortunate here in the Low Country to have really good cooks and have really good restaurants. But the same, you know, there is just that different set of standards, of course, too. To how we operate when it comes to promoting and celebrating, you know, Black businesses, and that's something that we gotta do better at, right? Not only that, but we also gotta understand that, you know, we all eat food. Everybody eat food, right? And so, if you eat food, then here's a restaurant that, as Gullah Cuisine was. That everybody can come in and enjoy. I mean, you guys were quite entertaining every time somebody came through the door. And we need more of that. You know, we need that personal interaction, you know, that good, warm heart, good food, good conversation. We just need more of that. And you provided that for a very long time. Now, I was gone. So when did the Gullah Cuisine originally open?
In 1995.
Okay.
I graduated from Johnson & Will in 1988, mm-hmm. and from there I was doing catering. And I think it was acquired a building in 1994, set it up more or less as a catering. And then after I was awarded this contract from Fortune 500, that's when I start, you know, would start renovating the building for the restaurant. So, you know, it's been a total of for 20 years from, you know, catering and to open up the restaurant.
Well, you know, that's very good. That's very good to know because if you ate at the Gullah Cuisine restaurant, I know you had a really good experience. So if you're in the listening audience and you want to call up when Charlotte's no longer on the air, and so you can tell her how much you appreciate the business, when you ate there and how much fun you may have had, you're welcome to call up. So I hope you continue to listen. So let me ask you a question. How many celebrities are that you can count that came through the Gullah Cuisine restaurant?
Oh, see, I can't count. There's so many. I've had
that's very good.
I've had people from China came.
Wow.
China, and Obama actually was on schedule. All of the Secret Service came in, and they went through the place, make sure everything was safe and everything. Mm-hmm. But they had some conflicted with his appointment.
Okay.
So he didn't show up, but his staff showed up. And Patriot, he was always Clyburn.
Clyburn, okay.
He was one of my, you know, one of my customers. So he's a big celebrity.
Okay.
Yeah, but there were many.
Good. Yeah. Well, that's what one would hope. You know, you were on that Gullah Geechee corridor, and let's talk about. I'm gonna briefly talk about that corridor because there's a lot of people that don't really know what its existence and what it's for and how and what it represents. You know, there was a time, and I know you can remember this, especially now that you're growing chickens. So you had to been around probably when there were hundreds and hundreds of black businesses along that corridor, going all the way up to Myrtle Beach, and particularly through Mount Pleasant. That was a big deal. And now, when you go up and down that corridor, things are different. And when you look over, you don't see the Gullah Cuisine restaurant, you immediately think, "Wow, what a missing iconic figure."
Yep.
Now tell me this. Now, how can people that want to, and I want to have you do catering, I want to discuss the book with you, come up with that menu of that's going to help them. Do you want to give out a phone number? Don't share the eggs, please. do you want to give out a phone number and a way for them to get in touch with you? Do you want to do that?
Yeah, I can do that. But
okay.
But then I'm not limited, you know, because
okay.
I don't try to do nothing, nothing too big.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, give me an email address that they can send you an email. I think that might be easier so you can check it. You can check it between, you know, taking care of the chickens.
Okay. GullahLady@yahoo.com.
GullahLady@yahoo.com. Write it down, folks. GullahLady@yahoo.com is how you're going to get in touch with her. I think if anybody that calls you up or get in touch with you, and they're going to get a good meal. And I thank you. I thank you for being, you know, for me having the opportunity to spotlight you doing Black History 365, as I call it. And I look forward to doing this again. And one day I'm going to have to get in the kitchen and cook up a few things from that recipe to tell me whether or not you think I really can go into some form of restaurant. But thank you so much, Charlotte Jenkins. I love you. I appreciate you. And happy Valentine's Day.
Well, thank you for having me. And the same to your wife.
All right. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You heard her. Charlotte Jenkins, a legend. She's a legend. You know, just think about all the restaurants that no longer exist anymore, like Charlotte. You know, I can recall a good friend. I mean, someone that I looked up to just recently passed, Jesse Jr. Dingle. And Jesse Jr. and his dad, Mr. Jesse, Mr. Bluesteins, as I often called him, Mr. Dingell was an entrepreneur. So growing up in Rambus Point, I learned a lot from him and watched him. And so I learned so much from him that, you know, I had him incorporate me into the Jester Jr. snack bar. You know, I was had a little role in the back and delivered food. But that was one of the restaurants that no longer exists. But Jesse Jr., you know, we lost him just recently, and his dad, they were their support, they were big, and some of the reasons why I continue to work to become an entrepreneur because of some of the things that I saw them do, and I can appreciate them, and you know, those girls, Mr. Jesse Dingell's daughters, and Jesse Jr.'s sisters. I think your dad and your brother still owe me about $22 from 79, and I'm going to give y'all a call, and we can try to work that out. I know from 79 to now, there's some interest should be associated, but it's just $22. I'm going to call y'all. We can try to clear that debt up. And but, again, Jesse Jr., a legend to me, as well as Mr. Jesse Dingell. Y'all heard Charlotte Jenkins. Charlotte is Charlotte then went back to eggs. All right. I think I got a caller on the line. I'm going to jump right on into that caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Wright. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I am well. This is Wallace Washington. I wanted to come in and comment about Miss Charlotte and the Gullah Cuisine. After I saw that post you had that she's going to be on the show, I was one of those people you mentioned that immediately was hungry for some Gullah Cuisine.
Hey.
I finally remember the Gullah rice and several of my specials there, not to leave out the greens. I'm not a big vegetable guy, but I loved her greens and loved everything that they made. So it's definitely a missed landmark in the community. I just wanted to say thank you for the years that she did. I know that running a restaurant is not an easy task, and it takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of effort. So we enjoyed the fact that she was there for as long as she was. And I'm not the best cook in the world, but I'm definitely going to order that book and try my hand at a few of my favorite meals and see how successful I am. If not, I do have Miss Charlotte's phone number. I want to call her directly and get some of those eggs and get some help with making some of that food. But I'm glad you had her on the show today, man, especially during, like you said, the month of February, Black History Month. But we need to honor some folks like her, the stalwarts of our community, 365, like you mentioned.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Wallace, man. I want to thank you, man. And I, you know, you do know that we could get together. If you don't get in touch with her, we can just get together, put a menu, and send it to her and tell her have it ready and prepared for us. And I think we can get that done, man, you know. So, she wasn't like the building was something that we all appreciated. And, I mean, I think everybody appreciated it. And as you said, you enjoyed it. And that's why I continue to support, you know, my sponsors and, you know, the ones that still have the restaurants. It's important because, you know, as we lose them, we got to find our way to make sure we continue to support local black restaurants.
That is correct. That is correct. And like some of your sponsors, we currently have, as well as the East Cooper Kitchen and the others, I definitely take advantage whenever I get an opportunity. The Sweet Shop, all those places are still icons in our community, and we need to support them to keep them there. I mean, they can't survive if we don't support them. So
absolutely,
by this person, take some time out at least once or twice a month to support local black businesses. I did want to make one quick comment about the acquittal. Of course, we all were hoping for the best and expecting the worst. I'm sure we're not surprised by the outcome. I think that what happened there was simply political cover. I think that the Republicans are still pretty much afraid of the Trump base. They want to keep their jobs, and they decided to do that over what is actually best for the country. Not even what's best for the country, but just what is the right thing to do. It's clear that that the others supported an impeachment conviction. but they didn't have necessarily conviction themselves to get it done. So it's sad. It's disappointing. And as someone mentioned, I believe you mentioned earlier, Graham and McConnell were back in the day some of the folks that supported a conviction of President Clinton for far less serious accusations. So I don't want to take up all your time going into that, but it is disappointing. But it's the unfortunately, it's the element which we live in today.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's Wallace, and I'm gonna let you go. But you know, I tell you what's unique too is that I don't know that consensual alleged essential action that happened between Clinton and whoever was ever televised. And unfortunately, you know, that was never televised. But we saw something that was televised, and so you can't tell us what we didn't see. That's unfair. So
that's true. You can't unsee it. We can't unsee it. Can't unfeel it. And the thing to me that's so disappointing, and I'll make this last comment, I'm a little disappointed in our new representative, Nancy Mace, because shortly after this thing happened on January 6th, she made some very telling, very neutral comments that I thought, hey, we got someone that gets it and that won't necessarily just support the status quo. But what she has done and said in the weeks and days after has been truly disappointing. I thought that we'd have someone that could be a new voice for the Republican Party that spoke the truth. But unfortunately, it seems like she's now drank the Kool-Aid and towing the party line. So if we'd had this hearing sooner, shortly after this happened, when the wounds were still fresh and the signs were still vivid in our minds, I think maybe we've gotten a different result. But unfortunately, with time comes the ability for people to be lobbied, and they start listening to their base or taking polls and decide, let me do what's politically best for me as opposed to what's best for the country. And unfortunately, that's the environment that we live in today.
Well, Wallace, I want to thank you for your comment, man. Always continue to listen and encourage others to listen in. This is why this platform was designed, so we can have this kind of engagement. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what others may think, but you know, we can have this conversation, and I think it's only best because it's the tough conversations that get us the substance. It's not the, you know, the ones that we want to hide behind and curtail. So thank you, Wallace.
We agree.
Thank you, man.
Good work, man. I'll keep listening. You take care.
All right, thank you, man. And Nancy Mace, you know, she just because you went to the Citadel does not indicate that you're a leader. It's a great leadership school. But it does not indicate that you're a leader. So, leaders lead with conviction, and they stand behind what they their conviction. So, I always said, you know, in my days that just because you're in a role does not mean that you're a leader. So that's something to live by. I think I got a caller. I got another caller on the line. I got to go right on in to my guest. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning. This is Star.
This is Star, our weekly call in with information, valuable information regarding vaccines from MUSC. Star, thank you. How was your week?
It was a busy week, but it was a good week. We're making some progress. We did have a little glitch in supply early in the week, but we were still able to roll out most of the second dose vaccinations that were scheduled. The good news is, as of February 11th, about 10% of the population in the United States has received at least one dose of the vaccine.
Okay.
So we're making progress. Numbers are down slightly in our area. So it's all moving in the right direction. I think as of Friday, we had about 27 million cases of COVID in the U.S. total to date. We've had less than 500,000 deaths, which is still a tragedy. But and then we have delivered over 50 million doses of the vaccine. That's including first and second dose mix there in that number. So you can tell that we've now vaccinated twice as many people as have had the virus. So as these numbers continue to rise, I think we'll see rates going down and Dr. Fauci says by April or May, he thinks we could be opening it up to everybody. So fingers crossed. Johnson & Johnson is supposed to be getting FDA approval soon. So that'll be a third player in the game to get these vaccines out to the people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you're in your role. This is having you on. It's a huge credit to the Jay Rice Show and the WJNI listening audience, because you're right there, and you know exactly where we are, and you're witnessing what a lot of us are not witnessing, and probably would not even have the ability to do. So, Star, I want to thank you. Now, do you think the 1st of April still is a reasonable for the at large population?
I think that it's slightly optimistic. Okay. It's a good target for sure. Mm-hmm. I think our current administration has taken great strides to get things approved by the FDA and to support production of the vaccine in any way that they can. And I think that's been a huge step in getting more vaccines produced. We just needed to kind of make that a priority. And, you know, that has been happening. So, you know, I think definitely by May, you know, early summer, I would think so. But, you know, just the verbiage now says sometime in April. So we shall see. But stay tuned for that. The exciting news, though, is that we are seeing such an increase in vaccinated populations. So that's just decreasing the number of people who are susceptible to the virus.
And Star, please, for this listening audience and for myself and for sanity, people are not like just collapsing after they take the vaccine. Please tell people that.
Oh, no. I mean, I know there have been some scary stories and reports out there of people having adverse reactions. But I can tell you people have adverse reactions to antibiotics in the hospital, for instance, or an antibiotic that they take at home. You can't predict and foresee every single person's reaction, but I can tell you largely when I'm on site watching the vaccines being given, we have people sit for 15 minutes if they think there's a risk, and we monitor them. We tell people take some Tylenol and or Benadryl before you go for that vaccine, and definitely expect to see some mild symptoms, fatigue, mm-hmm. fever, you know, that kind of thing. Your body's mounting an immune response. And mm-hmm. so that's just part of the process. But the actual number of people having very severe reactions to the vaccine are very, very low, very low.
Well, that's great information because of where you're located. You're located in the hospital. And if that is the case, then you would be seeing those folks coming back. The fact that you're saying that, you know, it speaks volume.
Correct. And actually I'm on the ground in some outpatient settings as well, where vaccines are being given. So okay. I'm kind of seeing it from some different perspectives and, you know, people are doing really well with it. So, you know, and if you have concerns specific to your health or your situation, then I would always say check with your primary care provider if you have any questions about your specific situation, and let them guide you if you're having, you know, if you have certain underlying conditions that make you scared or you've had reactions in the past. Always, always consult your primary care provider if you're in doubt. That's the safest thing to do.
Awesome. And, you know, I want to make sure I mention this because this is I'm on a gospel platform. And, you know, weeks ago I mentioned that I thought something I saw that was extremely positive, that the black AME churches was going to follow a model that was being done in Florida. And they were going to use those black church sites to made a commitment to use those sites for vaccine sites. Have you all heard any information about that, or what are your thoughts on that?
So I personally have been saying for years that the black AME churches are the most underutilized resource we have in the United States. You know, the best way to get information to people is to reach them in their community. And that's across the board. That's not just related to COVID, but that's a whole different conversation. So I've not heard that here locally, but they are using one of the Charleston County Public Library sites that's out in Hollywood. Will be set up as a vaccination clinic on Tuesday of this week. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's progress, you know, that they are trying to get closer into the center of certain communities. But I think it might actually take someone from the AME side to approach DHEC and say, hey, you know, we're willing to offer our facility, you know, we'll get volunteers to help with traffic flow if you can just give us a date and get some nurses out here to administrate. You know, it's a two-way conversation.
Absolutely. Well, Star, I really appreciate again, always appreciate having you on. And I think you're a benefit to my listening audience every week coming on to share this information. And the one thing you said that was important was to reach them in their community. Well, this is a gospel station and this is their community. A lot of them are listening right now. So you and I are using this platform to do just what you just said. Reach them. This is a community. This listening audience really is a community. And a lot of them make up, you know, some of those churches. So thank you, Star. And you're a superstar.
And we look
forward to hearing from you next week. And so listening audience, you guys give Star a huge round of applause. Thank you. Thank you, Star.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You guys heard her. She is bringing us information every week about the vaccine. We know how COVID has changed essentially everything. Every day you see something that's no longer that's being postponed or being canceled. Or we see the everyday issues around the school and kids in school and teachers rebelling. And there's some places in America where they're not in school. You know, here in South Carolina, we are. So, you know, it has really changed how we live. And it is some of the things we're seeing is just overwhelming. You know, it's really overwhelming because ultimately we've just never seen something like this before. A lot of things we just have never seen before. And it's hard to witness and to be a part of history without having some way of saying, look, you know, it's history, but I want to live the life that I lived before these historical moments. That's tough. That's really tough to do. So we're in them. Anything we talked about today, if you want to give Charlotte Jenkins a huge shout out for the information she shared about the book, the Gullah Cuisine, call up. The number, 843-308-9564. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from you about anything that I discussed. Remember the dinner table conversation for tonight. If you want to have it, doing the show rebroadcast from 7 to 8 p.m., the dinner table discussion is economics and celebrating Valentine's on the 15th or the 16th. And so that way you get things at 50% off. 75% off, whichever one works best for you. And so instead of, I mean, you can literally get a teddy bear for folks that you've never even bought something for. And I think they'll still appreciate it on the 16th or the 15th. But that's just Jay Wright. I'm trying to put that out there. You know, I'm trying to create some, you know, I think they call it economic development or economic financial literacy or something that makes sense about how you're going to spend your money. Again, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your thoughts about anything I discussed. 843-308-9564. At some point, I want to have a conversation with my listening audience, and I want to know I want to have a real whole conversation about organic food. And if you're listening, I know you're thinking to yourself right now, where's he going with this? Well, where I'm going with organic food is, and it don't have to be on this show, but in the future, you can call up and talk about it. But I want to say why I don't eat organic food, because It wasn't around when I was growing up. I never heard that term before. So I often make a joke with family members that organic food will kill you. I know you're laughing right now. Don't laugh. But it just wasn't around when I was growing up. I thought organic meant pecans and figs and persimmons and pears and plums and all the stuff that we would get off of people's trees and go take corn and tomatoes and stuff out of their gardens. I thought that was organic. So we'll have that conversation one day about organic and how you feel about it and how it's now entered into your new world, kind of like the mask, and you've embraced it. So you're free. You're free to talk about anything that we've discussed. And you guys heard some of the callers call in, and they expressed their opinion about some of the topics. I think that's one of the unique concepts about having this platform, is that you have that opportunity. You know, the mission statement on the Jay Rice Show is to build bridges and to close gaps. And we can do that. We can do that right here, because we can have conversations that these millions of listening audience can listen to and chime in. Or, you know, maybe you want to call in, maybe you don't want to call in, but you're always free. Again, it's a call-in platform, 843-308-9564. Call up and, you know, free to express yourself. But more importantly, I think the fact, again, like as Star indicated, reaching a community, this is a community. So I'm on these airwaves 9 to 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings, right in the middle of some of that church activity. And I'm talking about social and civic issues. And I'm acknowledging people that may ultimately not be acknowledged. Or just go to my Facebook page, Jay Rice Show, and listen to, and take a look back at some of the people that has been on my show, that has been my guest. These are local folks that you may or may not know anything about, with very good stories about some of the things that they've done and their contributions. So that's what I tend to do, and I will do, and I think it's a benefit to society in general, to bring on and have an opportunity to talk about people that you may not have heard of, you may not have be familiar with. But that's the whole concept of the BH365. We're going to do this often. We're going to do it with regularity, and I hope you enjoy it. This is the community, so this information that I'm sharing, as does David does on Saturday, is information we're sharing with the community. You know, it's up to you how you take it, how you receive it, whether or not it's good, whether or not you appreciate it. But I think it's what we should be doing. We should be sharing information. Just think. Can't help but say it again. You look at Charlotte Jenkins. She wrote a book with her recipes from that she cooked in the restaurant. You didn't have to go and eat at that restaurant anymore once you had that recipe. But I bet hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people went anyway, despite having that recipe book. They just probably did their due diligence and patronized her, the fact that she wrote a book, and probably never even read the book. But what we do know is that was huge for her to share that. She shared information. That's what this show is about, and that's what the platform is, to share information. So it's up to you. And again, everything I talk about, I engage in. You may or may not agree with me, but I want that call too. I welcome that call. You don't have to agree with me, but at least we can have the conversation. And again, I am of the belief that we got to play hardball. We got to stop playing softball. That's a big old ball. I almost yanked my arm out one time trying to hit a softball because it was coming so slow. But play hardball. My sponsors, doing Black History Month, you guys are heroes to me. Askew Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Gyrus Place in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, VIP Bistro. You are Black History Month Spotlight 365 on the Jay Rice Show. So people will hear who you are every show. Thank you so much. You all enjoy the rest of this day. And I look forward to the same opportunity again next Sunday. You have a good week. We'll talk soon. Peace.